There are certain moments and words that shaped a new era in pro wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Brett screwed Brett.
Die, Rocky, die.
Introducing the Book of Wrestling, 25 catchphrases that explain the Attitude Era. Tune in as we relive one of the most exciting, intense, and over-the-top times in WWE with new interviews with the voices that made the promos, calls, and catchphrases into history. Listen now.
It's New York, New York, presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
All right, we're rocking. Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is a Spotify Live with yours truly after a pretty eventful night. Not such a happy night, though, if you are a fan of the Brooklyn Nets. I showed up tonight. I cannot say the same for Kevin Durant. I cannot say the same for one Kyrie Irving. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. To get what you got out of Dragic. Right? To get that sort of performance, to get the effort you got out of Curry, to be up the amount of points that you were up in the first half, in the third quarter, and then to lose that game the way that you did. Whoo! Celtics are the better team. I have never seen a team play this sort of defense on Kevin Durant. That is obvious. Kevin Durant has gotten his ass beat in this series. But no excuse. You got to be better. I mean, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, as great as Kyrie Irving was in game one, he stunk tonight in game two. Oh my goodness, did he stink. I hope that banana helped him out. He needed it. He needed a little fuel. Holy moly, what a disaster. And this was not a must for the Nets. You knew the supporting players for Boston were going to show up. Pritchard. Tremendous. Grant Williams was tremendous here. Grant Williams kept the Celtics in that game in the first half where they were going to be getting their doors blown off by 20-plus points. And then in the second half, the Celtics went to Jaylen Brown again and again and again and again, and the Nets didn't have an answer. Here's the problem for Brooklyn. This defense that you are seeing is not changing from the Boston Celtics. It's only going to get better if they ever get Williams back into the fold. You tell me Goran Dragic is going to play like this again? I can't tell you that Curry's going to shoot like this again. The Nets are in enormous trouble in this series. And listen, I picked the Celtics to win at the get-go. I thought they were the better team. I thought they were the deeper team. And by no means is this series over. But now you're asking a team that's not as deep, a team that's not as well-coached, a team that doesn't play the same sort of defense, to go win 4 out of 5 games. I would be putting my money against that. I know these series can change. I know these series can shift. But the Celtics are the better team. That was my feeling going in. That was my feeling after game one, even though they got by the skin of their teeth. And that was my feeling in game two. Hats off, Boston Celtics taking care of business. And if you're the Nets, the missed opportunity in game one, the huge lead here in game two, and what happened tonight to Kyrie and KD. And KD in both games of this series has stunk. Let's call it like it is. He's the best player on the planet. He's supposed to be the guy that's at the top of his game here in these playoff series. Yes, the Celtic defense has been great, but you got to rise above that. Case closed. You got to find a way to rise above that. Now, baseball perspective tonight. I'm still salty after what I saw from Cole yesterday. How embarrassing was Cole? I mean, the Yankees won. They've won 2 in a row. They're 2 games over 500. It's so uninspiring, but that's a story for a different day. Cole stunk yesterday. Severino actually pitched with some balls today. He actually grinded out the game. He got outs when he needed to get outs. And the Yankee offense did enough. Kind of Falefa had a big night, a couple of hits. Rizzo continues to be in the middle of everything for the Yankees. Take it. Now, I'd love to see him go and sweep a series, for goodness sakes. That's something they have not done. That is something they have failed to do time and time again going back to last year. Remember, every time the Yankees had an opportunity to sweep a series, they couldn't do it. So I'd like to see that today or later on tomorrow, whenever the hell it is. But Sevy coming back and giving you 5 innings of one-run baseball on a day where he didn't have his best stuff, Sevy's a gamer. That's a guy who could pitch for me any day of the week. And I'm glad he's back with the New York Yankees. Waiting on this Met game to wrap up. Mets right now down 5-2 in the 9th inning. Not the best night for Chris Bassitt. Chris Bassitt was due. The Met rotation was due. Not a great night overall for Bassitt. But you love the start for the Mets. The Yankees start has been okay. The Nets are in a world of trouble. Oh, baby, the Nets are in a world of trouble. I never thought I'd find myself rooting like crazy for the Celtics, but here we are. Jake is going to lead us off. He gets us going. Jake, take it away, buddy.
JJ, can you hear me?
I got you, buddy. What's happening, kid?
The biggest reason why the Nets were so awful. You want to hear it?
Let's hear it.
I bet $50 on the Nets as a diehard Knicks fan saying, I got the reverse jinx force. You're not winning or I'm winning. One's happening.
Well, let me ask you a question, Jake. Do you feel bitter about that? You know, you donate some money, but the team that you despise ends up losing the game. I guess it's blood money. I mean, I don't like that logic. To me, I want to win both. I don't like the idea of the emotional hedge or whatnot. But if that did it for you, bro, more power to you.
You know what? Like, for $50, I can do that because I'm not doing anything crazy. Of course, FanDuel, sponsor of the show. And, like, I'm not doing anything crazy. But, hey, that's a couple of drinks. And, hey, like, I may have to double down and just, like, continue with the knife.
Well, if you want to just keep donating and you want to make sure that the Nets go and lose this series, more power to you. I'm not approaching it that way. I have money on the Celtics. Now, I did not tonight. I like the Nets tonight. I actually thought the Nets were going to cover this game. I thought the Nets were going to win this game. And they were sitting pretty for 2.5 quarters. Jake, they're not going to survive Durant having games like this in this series. I mean, Durant going 4 of 17 from the field, basically getting his 18 points from the charity stripe. You're not beating the Celtics with Durant playing like this. No chance.
Of course, which is why I'm saying I don't think Durant does this. If it's not for me, if I don't do that.
So basically what you are telling me, Jake, is that you have put this into the air. You have thrown this voodoo out there just to mush the Nets. Hey, if that's something you want to do, more power to you. Let's head to Ethan. I hope Ethan is ready to go. What's up, pal?
Hey, John, how's it going, my man?
Ethan, I'm doing well. What's up, buddy?
I am in a world of pain because you know I'm a Net fan. I'm in a world of pain right now. And I'll tell you, I knew the game was going to slip away. You have, and like, I'm not really much of a spiritual person though, but you have that kind of gut feeling when the Celtics went on that mini run to close out the first half. And at first half that they played terribly, but they closed it out going on like, what? I think they scored like something like 10 points to the Nets too in the last couple minutes of the first half. Oh man, that's when I could just sense, okay, if we don't, I could really see the Nets blow in this game. Sure enough, they did. Now it could be worse. I could be a Knicks fan, but unfortunately, I was watching this game and you could just sense the gut feeling I was having grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And then Tatum hits that dagger and just in the fourth quarter and just absolutely.
Well, they hit about five daggers. Between Tatum and Brown, they hit every big shot. The role players were tremendous for Boston. I mean, Grant Williams kept them in the game, with getting those 17 points. A lot of them were in the first half. That was when the Celtics needed it. Pritchard, who has been in and out of the Celtic rotation, he had some big moments in the fourth quarter. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And your boy Durant missed some easy looks. Now, the Celtics played some really good defense on him. They have for two games. They've bullied him. They've bodied him. They've made him uncomfortable. It's the most uncomfortable I think I've ever seen Kevin Durant. But at the same time, there are looks, there are shots that Kevin Durant normally hits and makes with these. And when he was missing them in the fourth quarter, when that's a five-point game and you need a bucket, he misses. When it's a seven-point game and you desperately need a bucket, he misses. It's as clear as day. It's not your night.
Yeah, and it's 100% too, because I've never seen, like, typically it's one of those things where it's like, okay, if Durant has a bad game, Irving's going to have a good game. Or if Irving has a bad game, Durant's going to have a good game. They both had terrible games tonight. Just terrible games tonight. And I want to ask you this, though. If Ben Simmons comes back for game four, which honestly, I'm not even focused on that at this point. I'm focused on Saturday's game, though. If Ben Simmons plays in game four, which I doubt, he's not going to start, obviously, though. But, like, do you really think he's going to have that big of an impact on this team? Because I guarantee you, he's not really going to be 100% whenever he's out there for game four, if he plays at all.
Ethan, my gut feel, appreciate the call, is no. I do not have the sense, I do not have the feel that Ben Simmons is going to come in and ride on his white horse and be the game changer and be the guy that's going to save the Nets bacon. What, because he's going to play a little bit of defense? I mean, at most, what are you talking about, 10 to 12 minutes out of Ben Simmons? You can't play him at the end of these games because he's too scared to shoot. You think all of a sudden that's changing overnight? I don't think so. Celtics are a better team, folks. They're a better team. And if Durant and Irving are going to play like this, you got no chance. You got no chance. David is up next. He joins us. David, take it away, baby.
JJ, how are you?
I'm doing well, David. Fantastic.
Just curious, you going to do any sort of coverage on the draft? You doing like?
Oh, yes, yes. We're going to announce that on Thursday. We have something cooking. We are going to do, I'm going to be working my ass off draft night. There will be a Spotify live during the draft. And then afterwards, I might as well spoil the party and the fun for you guys who are listening right now. And then we'll have this up on New York in a little bit. I'm going to have Heifetz with some Giant stuff. And Beningo will be joining us for some Jet stuff. So I know I said I was going to tease it. I'm a terrible liar. What else is new? And I unveiled our draft plans. So there you go.
Nice. Looking forward to that. Okay, that'll be amazing. As far as the Nets go, I just want to say I know how everyone. I'm a Knicks fan, obviously, so I'm very bitter about the Nets and Kevin Durant spurning my team and how they were anointed along with Kyrie and KD coming that they were going to automatically win a championship. And I just tell you, karma's a bitch.
Listen, the basketball the basketball gods are not going to shine brightly on the Brooklyn Nets when you think about. Guys not playing throughout the regular season. The way this team was put together. Now, we've seen teams put together shotgun weddings, superstar teams, have great success. This team has barely played in the last 2 years. So a lot of those bounces, a lot of those little intricacies, if you will, ain't going to go your way when the basketball gods are not shining upon you. They're just not. Appreciate the call. Do the Nets deserve any sort of good karma? My humble opinion is no. But again, might be a little biased. Let's head to Chris, who is up next. He joins us. Hi, Chris. How we doing? Chris, let's go. Chris, got to unmute that mic. Let's go. Chris, not ready to go. I mean, we got to be ready to go here, guys. Unmute the mic and be ready to go. Let's head to Justin in Floral Park. He's always ready to go. Hi, Justin.
JJ, what's going on, brother?
Justin, what's shaking, bro?
I got to tell you, they have no answer for Jaylen Brown.
How good was Jaylen Brown the second half of that game? He got whatever shot he wanted. Whatever shot he wanted, Justin, he got. And he got with ease.
They don't play defense. They have no shot in this series, man. They're down. They're going to lose this series in five games.
Well, Celtics are better. That I think people, maybe not nationally, but around here at least, a lot of people were selling the Celtics short going into this series. And listen, I admit in the middle of February, I was skeptical on the Celtics. I was like, this is not sustainable. They can't keep doing this. Their defense number one in the league and has been since January. It's not close. Their efficiency numbers back it up over the last 4 months. Justin, they're a very, very dangerous team because they have Tatum and Brown buying in, playing both ends of the floor, executing. You throw in Marcus Smart. You throw in their depth. You throw in their role players. They got a good coach. They got a really good team.
Dude, Smart is playing defense like I saw Gary Payton back in the day, man. He is just on these guys. It's unbelievable.
Smart's one of those guys, Justin. When he's on your team, you'll love him. When he's not on your team, you can't freaking stand him.
He's a free agent, isn't he?
He's going to get paid. I'm not sure about that. I got to double check that. I think you might be right on that. What did he get extended? He might have got it. I'll look it up right now. I'll look it up right now. Neither here nor there.
JJ, I mean, this was typical, man. Irving did not have the same kind of game that they had in game one. I really think they pissed away their opportunity in game one, man. Should have won that game. And I really think that this is going to be a short series. I really do think that, man. Because I think they're going to take one of these two games in Brooklyn.
Well, and if the Celtics get one of the next two, this series is over. I'm telling you right now, the Nets are not winning three straight games in this series. I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked. And I'll take it a step further, Justin. I do not think they're winning this series. I've said that from the get-go. I think Boston's better. I think they're flat out better.
Are you watching this Philly-Toronto game?
I'm into it. Yes, I am. I have it on right now. And I'm invested. And you know I'm on the Raptors. I'm in on the Raptors.
But, JJ, this half-court offense that the Raptors have is horrendous, man. They don't do anything.
Well, they miss let's be honest, though, Justin. They miss Barnes enormously.
Oh, big time.
Enormously.
I was expecting more out of Van Fleet, man. The guy won a championship. I don't know, man. He just I'm not liking the way he's running the floor here, man.
Well, you know what it is? He's one of those classic guys. When he is like your sixth man coming off the bench, when he is like your third, your fourth option, he's tremendous in that role. When he's getting catapulted into a more premier type of position, Justin, he's not that sort of guy.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
Oh, I'm behind. Wow, that sums up my night. That sums up my night in a nutshell. Oh, boy. Justin, 5 seconds ahead of me. I'm behind in the SNY studio, and I had to watch that. Miserable. Let's head to Charlie in Elmhurst, who's up next. Hi, Charlie.
Justin with that web. MB with a three-pointer. So I'm investing my ticket on the Phillies, so.
Well, good for you. One man's a winner. One man is a loser. What can I say? Yeah,
six-legger, so I'm actually right now the worry, I'm kind of concerned with the Phoenix Suns because Devin Booker is now looks like out for game three and four potentially. So that's not – I'm probably going to sweat out this game, so the six-legger. So, but anyway, on to the basketball, the Celtic game. I'm going to tell you, that coach – what is that?
Udoka, Celtics coach.
No, not Udoka. No, I mean that.
Nash? Steve Nash.
That's Jason Garrett 2.0.
You know, it's funny you say that. I got a lot of Aaron Boone vibes to Steve Nash. I got a lot of Aaron Boone vibes. I really do. They brought Steve Nash in to deal with people. He's never been a head coach before. He's getting exposed a little bit. Now, that can change quickly with a team. And in the NBA especially, players usually dictate your success or your failure. And the fact that Brooklyn did not end up having James Harden this year, Simmons doesn't play a game, like, things have gone against the Brooklyn Nets. So this isn't all Steve Nash's fault. Do I think that Steve Nash is some big-time head coach, though? From what I've seen so far, Charlie, the answer to that question is no. I don't.
Well, I mean, sorry for the basketball comments on that, but I wanted to talk about on the Yanks side. Jay, so I like the fact that the lineup is like this. Actually, one thing I can't stand is Chad Green. Dude did it again to me.
You know what, though? You don't need to see – here's the bottom line with Green, though. Charlie, you don't need to see him in high-leverage situations anymore. With this bullpen being as deep as it is, Clay Holmes is a stud. Miguel Castro has been great. How about King? How about Schmidt? If Chad Green is giving up big hits and big doubles like he did against the Tigers, he could pitch in the fifth inning in a tie game. How about that?
Oh yes, please. I don't want him in a big spot. I mean, they're fine. They're lucky that they IKF the pre and the. How about JJ? I want Joey Gallo off the team. I can't.
Well, he stinks. You notice, Charlie? None of the keyboard warriors, none of the stat geeks, came at me last night when Joey Gallo gives you a nice big fat golden sombrero. He is brutal. He is absolutely brutal. As good as Rizzo is. As beautifully as Rizzo has fit this team, that's how poorly Gallo has fit this team. Gallo's been an abomination.
I mean, you know how embarrassing Gallo is? I mean, the fact that Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who I know that, like, first, like, five games ago, he was, like, you know, nervous, I guess. But he got a couple hits in the final game at home. Now he's actually hitting, like, was that 9 for his last 17 or something? He's actually doing better.
Hey, that's all you can ask for out of IKF. Play good defense, make things happen. I like him running. I think the idea of him using his legs is a good thing for the Yankees. So I'm in on IKF right now. I like Hicks at the top of the order. I love LeMahieu in the five spot. Hit him behind Stanton. Let Stanton get good pitches to hit, and then you have LeMahieu there who could go and clean up the mess. I'm in on DJ in that five spot. Look, the Yankees are winning games and they're not scoring runs, and Judge has been brutal. So I guess there's a positive in that, Charlie. Bullpen outstanding. Rotation, not named Gerrit Cole, outstanding. Cole's been a disgrace. I mean, yesterday, Cole, you lose 2-3 to the Orioles. You get handed a 3-0 lead. You can't make it out of second inning. That's embarrassing. Flat out embarrassing. But his team picked him up. Clark Schmidt. Gerrit Cole owes you some beers and maybe a Rolex. Let's head to Sam, who joins us. Hi, Sam.
What's up, John? How are you?
Sam, I'm doing well. How we doing, buddy?
Okay, so I'm from Salt Lake. I'm a pretty big Jazz fan. And I wanted to hear, from a Knicks perspective, what would you be willing to give up for Donovan Mitchell?
I'll keep it pretty simple. Anything not named RJ Barrett. Does that help?
That's the one guy I want to take.
I figured as much. See, I think that will be the breaking point or the discussion point in back and forth with your team and with my team. Because here's my problem, Sam. I need a two-headed monster. And my hope would be I got Mitchell, I got Barrett, and that's two guys I can grow with now over the next couple of years. I got to get Randall off this team. I got to do everything in my power to get Randall off this team. He was a total dog this year. He's never going to be as good as he was 2 years ago. So they got to figure that out. But would you – if I told you Toppin, Quickly, Grimes, and a couple of first-round picks. That's not good enough for you?
If the Knicks got lucky with the lottery this year, I think I would take that. If we ended up getting the top four pick, I think...
I'll save you the trouble on that. The Knicks are not going to get lucky in the lottery this year. Because, Sam, they never get lucky in the lottery. Even when they have good lottery positioning, they never get lucky in the lottery. They'll be picking 10th or 11th. Mark my words.
Okay, well, I'd have to mark that one down as maybe then.
Yeah, listen, your team is going to be making some moves sooner rather than later, whether it's Gobert, whether it's Donovan Mitchell, who the hell knows? I'd love Donovan Mitchell. I don't want to trade Barrett. That's the one guy I do not want to trade. Morris is up next. Hey, Morris.
Hey, Jay.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm out of the country, and I don't know if you hear me so well, but just to talk a couple things on the Yankees, I don't know if you saw the tweet by Brian Hook, but it said that Gallo was striking out 30% of the time, which is a career low, but that's where I hate stats and hate people just tweeting random shit. Because if you have the eye test, you're watching. That's clearly not right on the field. And I'm happy that Boone's finally giving him a couple of days to get his head clear, because he's not doing anything on the field productive at this point. He's horrific in the field, and he can't bat anymore. I don't know what the hell to say anymore.
Morris, it's problematic. Appreciate it there. You were breaking up on us. I got you, Morris. Appreciate the call. I'm out on Gallo. I've been out on Gallo. I was fine with the trade because they gave up nothing. Watching him in September and watching him in the wildcard game, enough. They should have dumped him right then and there. They didn't. That's a mistake. By the middle of this year, I hope Joey Gallo is no longer the Yankee left fielder. Let's head to Scotty, who's up next. Hi, Scotty. How we doing, babe?
Bro, watching Joey Gallo play baseball is like watching...
Oh, it's cringeworthy. It's cringeworthy. And you know what makes it worse, bro? What makes it worse is this team and the way that they are built. They didn't need another guy like this. And they got a two-month look at him. He didn't fit. He strikes out a ton. That was the time to say sayonara, my friend. But they didn't.
Watching him play baseball, JJ, is like watching the last two seasons of the OC, I swear to God. Also, I just rewatched the series, so that's why I'm being...
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up. Season one, outstanding. Season two, very, very good. See, and you know, season three had potential. They took the storylines and rushed everything. They killed off Marissa, which was a big mistake. And then the fourth season was just a total waste of time.
Fourth season was like watching a romantic comedy almost. It was bad, but... And Gleyber Torres, too. You got add him to that discussion.
Well, he's got no confidence. Scotty, and I know the bunt ended up working out because the pitcher from Detroit threw the ball in the center field. Gleyber Torres bunting again tells you all you need to know about his stroke and his confidence level. It's the equivalent of a golfer not having the confidence to pull out a driver, and they're basically pulling out 5 or 7 iron off the tee because they got the yips, they got no feel, they got no confidence, and they feel like they're just going to shank one basically left or right. So you're right on that. Gleyber Torres has been a disaster. Got to pick it up. Let's head to Jeff Money, who joins us. Let's head to Thomas, who is up next. Thomas, the floor is yours.
What's happening, JJ?
Thomas, how we doing, man? What's happening, baby?
Nothing. I'm sitting in my bed. I'm pretty fucking bored. I'm watching YouTube videos of the historic 9-0 comeback at Fenway. And you got Swisher hitting the big doubles. You got Teixeira hitting 2 home runs, clutch, ripping a double down the line. And you would never see that with this team today. They don't show any sort of heart, and all they try to do is hit home runs. When you see these guys walk in and then trying to get a base hit, and then someone hits a big home run, and then someone else walks, and then he steals second. And I don't know, it's just very frustrating, and it doesn't have the same feel. Like, usually these Yankee teams, they have heart, and they want to win, and they show hard and fight. And this, I know they won, but it's not the same type of team.
Listen, it hasn't been the last few years. They've been underachieving, but it's very easy to make those sort of proclamations when the team is performing the way they have. The Yankees want to win, Thomas, okay? The guys in that locker room, in that clubhouse, they want to win. They're a flawed lineup from the way they've been constructed. Let's be honest. That 2012 team scored a ton of runs. They were flawed in the way they were constructed. They flamed out in the postseason. Don't forget about that. All right, we'll take a couple more. Don joins us. Big Don, what's up, baby?
JJ, what's going on, my brother?
Big guy, I'm doing well. How are you?
It's been a little while. Yeah, I'm doing great. Good. Thanks for asking. Two quick questions. First off, I was curious your thoughts on Mr. Jay Wright retiring from...
Stunned. Absolutely stunned. I'm glad that you brought that up, Don. I was going to mention that. I'm glad that you brought that up. I was stunned. Couldn't believe it. I hope everything is okay with Jay. I hope that everything is okay with his wife and his family, because that is obviously a thought that goes through your mind. I don't think Jay Wright is coaching in the NBA next year. I also don't get the sense, though, Don, that he's done. That's the other thing. He's a young man. He's 60, 61 years old. He could coach some more basketball, But that's a big loss for the Big East, and that is an enormous loss for Villanova. My goodness. Kyle Neptune, he did a good job at Fordham. He actually did found a way to get to like 500 at Fordham, which basically should get you a statue, considering the way that program has been for 35 years. He's got a major undertaking. I mean, to succeed Jay Wright at Villanova, good luck. That is not easy.
Well, I'm actually from Connecticut originally, so it's good for my UConn Huskies, I guess, right?
Well, it does. It opens the door for Providence and for UConn and for Shaheen Holloway and Seton Hall, because you would think this would bring Villanova back to the pack a little bit. You would. But I was stunned. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and they started mentioning it. They started dropping his name already on TV as a thought for the Laker job.
See, I can't see that. No, I cannot see that. I'd be shocked. I don't think Jay Wright is coaching next year. I think he could coach again. I'd be stunned if he's coaching next year. Stunned.
Yeah. I mean, it makes you think, though, like, I mean, unless there is something going on in the family, like you mentioned, like, maybe he really is interested in, like, a big-time Laker-type job or something.
Yeah, I just don't think he'd walk suddenly from Villanova like that to go and coach in the NBA. You know what I mean? The timing of it is just very, very perplexing and very bizarre. Bizarre.
So the other question I have is just, what do you make? I didn't get a chance to hear anything recently regarding your opinion on this whole Garrett Cole debacle. Like, what do you think is going on with this dude? Is it really just the sticky stuff, or why the hell is he just, you know?
Well, I think it's a combination of a lot of things, Don. I think the sticky stuff is a factor. I think Garrett Cole's in his own head. I think he's a creature of habit type guy, and maybe it's the weather, maybe it was the Motown music. I don't know. I didn't want to hear what... I'll give Cole this. I was having some fun at his expense after the way he handled himself on opening day. He handled himself like a pro after the game. He basically said, yeah, bunch of four-letter words. I stunk. I don't know what's going on. I got to fix it. I can respect that. I can respect that. Let's try again. Jeff Bunny, the floor is yours. Jeff Bunny, take it away.
What's up? What's going on there, JJ?
Jeff Bunny, I'm sick over this Raptor one tonight. Sick. Sick. Absolutely sick. But you know what? That sums me up the last two nights. I could not be any more cold. What a disaster. Disaster.
Playing. I've been hot, but I...
Yeah, you were hot yesterday, bro. Give credit where credit's due. You were hot.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks I've been hot, so I can't complain about it. Just that, you know, Harden was out of the game. The Raptors had their chances, and then that last flicker at the end, I figured, all right, if any...
How does that shot go in? I mean, come on, man. Come on.
Or even a push. Usually it's like a two-pointer. We got 2 points. We figure we should have had that one. That was terrible.
No, I can't buy a win, Jeff Money. Last 2 days, my man, I cannot buy a win. But anyway, we move on tomorrow.
Did you look in the card for tomorrow? I already...
I can tell you without hesitation, I will be on Minnesota, plus the point and a half. 100%, I'll be on my Timberwolves.
I'm going to roll with the Warriors, minus the 1.5 in Denver.
See, that game scares the crap out of me, Jeff Money. Doesn't that line seem too good to be true?
It does, but I don't know. I just feel like the Warriors, I think...
Well, the Nuggets look shot. Listen, from what you saw in the first two games, the Nuggets look completely cooked and look completely shot. But if there's one game they're going to show up for, it would be tomorrow night. That's my only fear.
That's true, but I just feel like I feel the Warriors got them. So I'm gonna lay the 1.5 with the Warriors definitely tomorrow. And
fair enough. I don't know what I'm doing with that game. I can tell you though, I am on Minnesota tomorrow. Lock it in. I am on the Timberwolves. Yes.
I'm glad I didn't touch that net game.
Well, dude, if you had the Nets, you're sitting pretty in the first half. You're sitting pretty midway through the third quarter. Hey, Durant Irvin couldn't hit a shot. Brown was insane, and the Celtic role players were really good. That's how you lose. Case closed.
They were just ice cold in that fourth quarter. It was crazy. I figured they had that game, you know? So.
Jeff Money, that's a game you got to win. Guys, if you're an F fan, you're having a hard time sleeping tonight. Your two star players got to show up. They've done nothing in this series. We'll have this posted. We're back with a pod tomorrow. Good stuff all around. Good work, fellas. JJ out. Be good, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.